we have a lot of constraints wherein people are less insecurity. If we start including people from diverse background, we will have diverse perspective.
Hi, you're listening to The Secure Developer. It's part of the MyDevSecOps community, a platform for developers, operators, and security people to share their views and practices on DevSecOps, Dev and Sec collaboration, cloud security, and more. Check out mydevsecops.io to join the community and find other great resources. This podcast is sponsored by Sneak. Sneak is a dev-first security company helping companies fix vulnerabilities in open source components and containers without slowing down development. To learn more, visit sneak.io. On today's episode, Guy Pajani, president and co-founder of Sneak, talks to Vandana Verma. Vandana is an experienced application security practitioner currently working at IBM's India Software Labs as a security solutions architect. She's OWASP Bangalore's chapter leader, OWASP Women in AppSec lead, as well as an advocate for WOSEC, InfoSec Girls, and Women in Cybersecurity. She has given talks and workshops at many colleges and security conferences worldwide and is the co-founder of OWASP Seaside Goa. She has won many awards in her career, including the 2019 Cybersecurity Women of the Year Award.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Secure Developer. Thanks for tuning in. Today, we have a great guest with us, Vandana Verma, who is a member of the Global Board of Directors for OWASP. Thanks for coming on the show, Vandy.
Hey, hi. How are you?
Great to have you here. So, Vandy, before we dig in, and we're going to talk about, you know, cloud security, we're talk about developer involvement there, we're going to talk a little bit about sort of India and women in security. Before we dig into all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, what is it that you do, and just a little bit of that journey. How did you even get into security?
Sure. So, hi, everyone. Currently, I am working as a global board of directors for OWASP and also working full-time with a multinational company. Apart from that, I am part of few open source communities because I do a lot for pro bono work, or I preach about that. I work with InfoSec Girls, WOSEC, which is Women of Security, work with, as I said, OWASP, OWASP Women in AppSec, which is a community started in India. And there are a few other communities that I work with. Apart from that, I started my career as a developer for 1 year and then moved to SOC environment, which is completely different. So it was kind of an accidental wherein you shift the domain completely. So it happened wherein I worked for a couple of years, then started off with application security, moved to mobile security, cloud security. It's like a mix and match of different domains. Whatever came my way, I just went ahead with that, learning, interacting with people. So the turn came actually wherein I got more involved with a lot of different things and in the community by stepping into the community when I was introduced.
Yeah, that's awesome. And do you, like you mentioned, you know, quite a few different sort of entities that you're a part of, and you also do like a decent chunk of public speaking and, you know, sort of evangelism. Is that correct about security?
That's right. So when I started off with InfoSec Girls, we were doing sessions, meetups, but then we thought, can we have something which is like, everyone talks about diversity, but how about giving them the technical trainings? So I came up with the web application security training. We have given the trainings at multiple conferences. We started off with NullCon, which happens in India. Then we gave it at AppSec Europe, AppSec USA, Global AppSec Tel Aviv, and many other places. Even locally, we have given that training. Apart from that, a lot of colleges, schools, we try and train on cybersecurity by providing training, sessions, connects, discussions.
Yeah, that's excellent. And how, I mean, did somebody sort of nudge you into that? Or like, how did you make the leap of sort of doing the first sort of public speaking and venture into this world?
So when I started going to the conferences, I started seeing people who were giving speeches, and some were really, really impressive. So one of the conferences wherein I was just discussing and said that I want to start speaking, one of my mentors guided me on how to write an abstract, because to submit a presentation, it's very important if you write a good abstract. Took that, submitted a couple of papers, got rejected, learned the way the things go in the conference, understood from the past abstract that how to write an abstract, what goes behind that. Started submitting after a few failed attempts, got through. And it's like I try my luck everywhere where I want to go, whether it goes in a positive direction or negative direction. But I seek for feedback so that I can improve myself. So that's how my journey started, first speaking and then training simultaneously.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I love the perseverance. So like, first of all, very good point about the abstract. You know, at the end of the day, you forget, like you think you know so much about yourself and what is it you have to say, but the person reviewing it on the other side sees the abstract. So they need to think about, you know, how good is that written? You know, that's worth investing. But then also I love the perseverance over there. And you started building an AppSec training. So we were going to dig a little bit into cloud security, but I guess, I don't know if that's sort of a segue into that or not, but what would you define as sort of the scope of AppSec in today's world?
Right. So AppSec is application developed with security, be it talking about using threat modeling in the initial phases, then secure code development, talk about AppSec with the app pen testing that we say. But now everything is moving left, which we call it as shift left. So AppSec is not just AppSec, but security has become part of the whole journey. So from the trainings, if I have to say, we cover majorly app pen testing. But right now I'm working on something related to code reviews and integrating the whole pipeline, like creating a DevSecOps model training. So we'll have a training on secure code review. AppSec pen testing is already going on, which will be open soon for anyone who wants to give the training. I've asked many people to take up the details from me. I would be happy to share it. Then making a model wherein we can define this is how DevSecOps for open source look like. And you can replicate the model anywhere. That'll be my perspective, but I'll be taking inputs from the people who are part of the industry so that we can do something meaningful and the training is meaningful for them.
Got it. So, you know, you say sort of AppSec has kind of expanded to be this whole area. You know, I sometimes sort of say that it's not about shift left because developers have expanded to the right. You know, it sounds like it's kind of the same type narrative. So, you know, when you talk about AppSec and kind of modern space, do you capture cloud security or in general, maybe like what's your view today about the scope of cloud security to differentiate that from AppSec?
I would say there's not much differentiation. It's just the perspective change and the environment change. Earlier, we were doing it and we were performing the AppSec on the apps which were built in-house, infra is inside, everything is inside the organization. But as we are all are expanding, we need to have a wider horizon. And especially when cloud has so much to offer, talk about scalability, availability, and so many more things. So it's just the infra change. But cloud has given more perspective to AppSec. In the terms of DevOps, it gives automation because it's very, very important. Talk about the widened attacks that we have. If we don't persist them or if we don't avoid them, then there are a lot of concerns that can be raised. So the way we were doing AppSec in-house, we are doing in cloud. It's almost the similar. It's just that we have certain more measures to be taken in cloud from the infra point of view. But I would say I am more inclined towards cloud. It gives me so much of scalability.
And do you, when you say you're more inclined towards cloud, so, you know, we have, you know, people on the show from different security organizations, and oftentimes cloud security still sits, you know, as a title in a team that is sort of separate from application security, right? Sometimes it's like the DevSecOps team, sometimes it's the cloud security team, and they deal with infrastructure security, if you will, but cloud infrastructure, you know, sort of those systems. When you go off, when you train on AppSec, and I guess in general, kind of the opinion, do you see the two as different? Do you think they're actually kind of, you know, your code and your whatever containers, your cloud configuration, you know, is it the same kind of methodology and person that should be involved there?
So I would say, think about AppSec, wherein I'm talking about the old ages. We'll start with the old ages, wherein we had an application. In the testing environment, we are pen testing all the prod and we have it in the production environment and we are pen testing just getting a report. But now in cloud, we just don't have just the AppSec team working. Because majorly when organizations move to cloud, they have infra to take care of in the cloud, like configurations and so many more things. But application also moves to cloud. If you don't have proper rules configured, your application is in trouble. But think about pen testing in the cloud. It almost remains the same, except there are few attacks that play a different role. To give you an example, SSRF, server-side request forgery, which plays a different role. How? There was one attack, which was recent one on Capital One, wherein attackers leveraged SSRF and they just served through the normal loopback address for an application or for the AWS account, and they ran through the SSRF vulnerability. They could get the metadata and so many more details, even the SSH keys they were able to get. So attacks sometimes are similar, but there are some advanced attacks which we have to learn, which happens in cloud, I would say. But the methodology remains the same. The perspective remains the same, I would say.
Got it. So interesting. So you're basically saying, for like your interpretation, when you talk about cloud security, you're basically thinking about application security in the sense of like you're securing up the code of applications, maybe the libraries or the components that are inside of them, but in the context of cloud, as opposed to securing the cloud resources themselves. Is that sort of a fair statement of like, you know, having the right like identity and access management roles or the right provisioning? So is that about right?
I would say that in cloud, there is no separate team that's working on it. As a cloud person, when I started working on cloud security, I was a completely AppSec person. But then I got to know how an application is being developed in the cloud environment, how it's hosted in the cloud environment. So we sometimes have to work with the different teams and we get to learn different perspective. So it's an extended arm.
Yeah, no, interesting. And I think kind of very right from an application context perspective. And we live in this world where it's very blurry, you know, this sort of line between infrastructure and code or kind of the app in the context of the cloud, because, you know, for many intents and purposes, the infrastructure is a part of that application. So from a pen testing perspective and vulnerability discovery, you know, do you really care if it's a vulnerability in the application or the cloud configuration? It's all the same. You just sort of push through.
Right.
So you go off, you do these public speaking sessions and you're involved in all these communities. Maybe let's sort of shift a little bit to talk about the communities, you know. So you're based in India, is that correct?
Right. I'm based in India, in Bangalore.
And what would you say? So like looking, you know, we talked about your journey, but if you look a little bit at the ecosystem's journey, you know, at application security in Bangalore and indeed, you know, the creation or sort of the advent of cloud, what are your thoughts about, you know, any changes or growth? Has the security community there been growing? Has it been changing with cloud coming into the play?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've seen a big, big shift. So Bangalore is like a mini Silicon Valley. And if you talk about the communities that, especially in security, that are growing, they're growing at a very massive pace. Because if I have to talk about my journey, I was working in an environment wherein I am doing day in and day out job, like for my bread and butter. I was performing few tasks which were assigned to me. But then when you connect with more people as a community, it changes your perspective. You might learn something new. So in Bangalore, when we host our NULL meets, you will see at least close to 100 people coming in every month. They take out time on a Saturday morning, come to the meets to learn. And we also host certain hands-on sessions. People do come. And the technology is massively growing. There are so many amazing researchers here who are ready to share knowledge, be it AppSec, be it cloud, be it talkers, be it DevSecOps, talk about anything. Anything in security, you will just hear. You just have to shout that, I want to learn this thing. So they'll be ready to help you out.
Sounds like a lot of people around. And you're doing it, how much, I mean, do you feel like speaking opportunities and the likes that are local, have those grown? Or do you feel like to get your voice heard kind of more globally, you have to travel out? How do you feel kind of local tech scene versus global? What's the change, if any, on that front?
The speaking opportunities are growing. Like compared to the ones that we had in the past, there are new conferences coming up. There are new venues coming up. But I get a lot of opportunities from the other part of the world. There are so many conferences running. Every other week, I can see there's some conference coming up. Okay, people are talking about this conference, that conference, so many. In India, we have a handful of conferences, if I have to talk about the conferences which are well known to people. So they are growing, but it's a lot of effort, so they're growing on their own pace.
And specifically, maybe like the OWASP activity. So I think you mentioned you're sort of, you know, doing the OWASP chapter. You know, you're now a member of the Global Board of Directors. How involved is OWASP in the local community?
It's very much involved. If I have to name, last year we started a free conference, whereas there's no pass ticket, nothing. We will have talks and the sessions, the training sessions for free. If you go to OWASP, Seasides, because it happens in Goa near the sea. Even the talks happen just right in front of the sea. So that's how name came up. And it's all free for anyone to attend. There are sessions starting from not just AppSec. So you will see the sessions on Docker containers, which is container security, threat hunting, talk about car hacking, bug bounty hunting, and so many wide variety of sessions that we have at that conference. So it's very much involved. And people are getting to know about it. Even we have it this year in March, 3rd to 5th March. If you go to the website, you will be able to find so many more details at what kind of sessions we are going to conduct. So it's like
a
huge contribution to the community, Indian community specifically.
And this is OWASP Seasides?
Yes, OWASP Seasides, which is OWASP, O-W-A-S-P, and S-E-A, which is C, because it's near the sea, sides,
yeah,
S-I-D-E-S, by the sea. Yes.
Excellent. Maybe, you know, like, you know, the local scene is growing and you're sort of a member of OWASP, you know, you go off, you give your sort of, you know, global talks. I know one of your recent keynotes has been about women in security. And I know you're also, you know, you're involved, you sort of mentioned quite a few different organizations that are doing it.
Right.
Let's dig into that a little bit, you know, like it's always a complicated topic. Before I dig into specific questions, what do you feel is kind of in the world of AppSec is the current state of affairs around diversity and specifically gender diversity?
Right. So my keynote was about that when we talk about diversity, it's not gender diversity. It has to be different forms as well. Because we kind of only think about the gender diversity and it actually creates a lot of concerns for the other gender as well. Because when I started digging more into the topic, and I've been in the industry for quite some time, and I can see that there are people which are less. That's why we talk about diversity, and it's very important. So if I have to talk about AppSec, not just AppSec, I would say the whole security, it's like the diversity is very less. I would say that's one of the reasons wherein we have a lot of constraints wherein people are less insecurity. If we start including people from diverse background, we will have diverse perspective and the job concerns that are there, wherein people say that we have so many jobs open, but we are not able to find the right set of people. I'm sure that will also be reduced. And there are so many researches that are coming up that we have these many jobs coming up, but we are not able to find the people. So I'll give you an example. My perspective on it is, let's say there's a person who's working as a psychologist. That person reads the mind. And especially if it's a cyber crime, that person can be really helpful because they know what thought can go behind a person when they're making that crime. So that can help. And I'll give you an example of my friend who was from a commerce background. But he's one of the amazing bounty hunters, I would say, who find bugs. So when we were hiring in my past stint, when we were hiring for people who are good at security, we did not look at the resume wherein that person has specified that he's from a commerce background. But we looked at his skills and we found him to be the bestest match, I would say. Like all the CVs or the resumes that we screened through. And he actually excelled in his job. But again, when he was trying to switch, he again got the same concern wherein that he's from a commerce background, whether he should be doing that or not. We should be hiring the BTech candidates. So that's again a blurry line.
And this is, I'm fully there with you around the fact that diversity is a broader topic, you know, like whether it's location, whether it's background, whether it's age, you know, every perspective kind of brings a new skill to the mix. You know, like you give one tip there, which is, you know, maybe like judge based on skills versus just the resume. What other sort of techniques or methodologies have you sort of seen to work well to help break through the fact that, you know, it's sometimes hard to find, you know, the diverse candidates?
Mm-hmm. So I would say that sometimes organizations target people to hire from the top schools, top business schools, top institutions. we can actually partner with some organizations to include engineers from different colleges, artists, mathematicians, and other creative professionals from a broad set of experiences, rather than only looking for bright millennials. How about hiring some veterans, older professionals who are highly skilled? Because when we say diversity, it goes far, far beyond education and gender. So if we hire those people, I am sure we will have diverse perspective. So let's say you and I are working in the same team. You will have a different perspective. I will have a different perspective. And I'm sure when there is a situation come in, we will put forward our own views rather than just going with the same flow.
Again, sort of spot on. And I think, you know, the value of diversity is great. Specifically, you know, kind of allowing me to stereotype a bit here and so still dig into that sort of the gender diversity bit, right? You know, you work a lot with InfoSec girls and all that, you know, in this sort of, you know, white men kind of dominated surrounding. Sometimes I know, you know, like a common complaint, like real concern is maybe surroundings. What have you seen, you know, in through these organizations to be sort of good best practices? If you're an organization leader or a security organization leader, and you want to make sure that when you bring people that don't look like everybody, they stay comfortable.
See, I would tell you upfront that there are problems, for sure. We have seen and heard the cases. But let's say if I have to talk about gender diversity, as a woman, there are a lot of concerns that everyone has seen in some or the other way. But sometimes there are points or concerns which the other gender also has. So it's like there's a term called alienating or alienating men, right? Wherein the other gender also feels that we are trying to dominate them, which is not the case. Because when I had a conversation with the friends who I have or the mentors, because I have a lot of male mentors, they also feel sometimes nervous or a bit concerned when the term diversity comes into picture. Why? Because it's like they think 100 times before saying anything, because it might raise some concerns. So the diversity concerns are from both the sides, and both has to be worked upon. And we have to talk it out. If there is a concern, we all have to talk it out. And as a man, if they see that there is some hesitation the other gender has, they have to make the other person comfortable that this is my perspective. It's not to bring you down or it's not to bully you. And same goes for us also. Because I work with a lot of white men and I do a lot of discussions around diversity. I do a lot of discussions about technical topics. Especially for my keynote, I had discussions with n number of people from all genders, from all colors, from everywhere. So it's a kind of a topic wherein if I say my perspective, somebody else might have a different perspective altogether. So I would say it's a topic of discussion wherein if you feel that there is something which is not going right, talk it out. Raise your voice. And people are hearing. It's not that people don't hear. People do hear.
Yeah, well, I'm always in favor of communication. It was interesting to hear about, you know, diversity and soliciting opinions about diversity over there as well, which is, you know, a kind of a good inception model there.
I have to add something to it. I do support all the women and platforms, but I don't resonate to just the gender diversity, to be honest. Even being a woman, I don't just resonate to it. I have friends from different backgrounds. I know people who are differently abled. So I wouldn't just say that it's just gender diversity. I try and see that if there's a knowledge sharing platform, it has to be for everyone, not just for a specific gender diversity. So this one person whom I really, really admire, Stephen Hawking, he's like the real example wherein he's done so much for science, so much for the humankind. And so you can't just differentiate.
Yeah, well said. For Snake, you know, one of the things we oftentimes discuss is location diversity as well, which also kind of adds different perspective, different ecosystems, you know, whether it's in our case, kind of, you know, London, Tel Aviv, then Boston. You know, but of course, yeah, every opinion at the end of the day, it's about bringing different opinions and different perspectives and kind of helping them communicate or sort of giving a platform for them to collaborate and good things happen. You know, you have more powerful perspectives and less blind spots, you know, if you get it done right. But this was excellent. You know, I think we kind of covered a whole bunch of topics. Before I let you go, I like to ask every guest that comes on the show, if you have one tip, you know, one, it could be a pet peeve or something that, you know, sort of annoys you, one piece of advice you want to tell a team looking to level up their security, what would that be?
So I would say understand your environment first. A lot of attacks happen because you don't know your environment. So understand your environment first and then start off with the security if you've not started. So it's like better late than never. So start your security anywhere, you know, and understand your environment. I would say understand your environment, get started, get going. It's very, very important, especially if I have to give examples. Think about the hacks that have happened recently, Equifax, Capital One, and so many major hacks.
Yeah,
indeed. Just the minute mistakes can lead to the big fall down.
Yeah, no, that's sound advice. Well, Vandana, thanks a lot for coming onto the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm glad to be here and talking to you.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And I hope you join us for the next one.
Thanks for listening to The Secure Developer. That's all we have time for today. For additional episodes and full transcriptions, visit mydevsecops.io. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or get involved in the community, you can also find us on Twitter at mydevsecops. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes if you enjoyed today's episode. Bye for now.